Welcome to the Spin Axis podcast. I'm Eric Barseski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This week, we're going to talk about putting. We're going to talk about how many times you hear, oh, he decelled on that one. We're going to talk about how that guy is probably not quite aware of how good putters actually decelerate on almost every putt they hit. That's true. Are we all in agreement with that?
Yes.
Most good putters are decelerating the putter slightly when they hit the ball.
Yeah.
They are not accelerating.
Correct. That's a better way of saying it.
Right. They are not accelerating. I tell people to just jump right into it. Putting is like a pendulum in two ways. Number one, the time of your stroke, the period of a pendulum, is the same regardless of the size of your stroke. Okay, so whether you're hitting a shorter putt, a 10-footer, or whether you're hitting a 50-footer, the time of your stroke should be pretty much the same. It might fluctuate a little bit, but it's not twice as long or three times as long just because the putt is three times as long. And number two, the backswing is about the same length. I prefer. There are good players that don't do this, but they work at it and they practice a lot. The backswing should be about the same length as the follow-through. Or the follow-through could be a little bit shorter because you hit a ball and that slows the putter down.
Yeah, I worked on that. That was one of my big things, was that my backswing was too short.
And you see that a lot. You see a lot of people with a short backswing that's slow, and we'll talk about that a little bit, but it's slow, and their mental clock goes, oh, time is up. I need to make a through stroke. And then their brain goes, crap, the hole is 40 feet away.
Yeah.
And bam, they hit it.
Mm. Absolutely. And then you'll actually see the opposite, too, on short putts, where they take the putter back way too far, and then their brain goes, oh, that's way too far, and then they literally almost stop the putter before they hit the ball. You can see both sides of it. On a long lag putt, they'll take the putter back really short and then like accelerate that thing through, and it goes three times as far on the through stroke, and then the opposite on the short putts. You'll see that from poor putters all the time.
Yeah, if you really watch any of those social media videos when someone has like a little, like a tap in to like win the member or something like that, look at how long that stroke is, and it's way too long for that short little putt. And they just got to like put the brakes on as they go to hit it, because they know they would blow past it, but all that ends up, then it comes up short.
Yeah, that's the one time tap ins almost, or those little 4-footers or something like that. That's the one time I'm good with kind of a little acceleration through the hit. What are we talking about here, and why is this important? Distance control is the most important thing in putting. Far and away, hands down, by and large, short putts, I don't care if you're talking about a 10-footer, because as we've talked about, if you have a 10-footer that you hit 10 feet and 2 inches, that's a different read than a putt you hit 12 and a half feet to make the same 10-foot putt. It's a different read. So your distance control is important even on those size putts. And what I tell people is, if you're putting kind of like a pendulum, and it's not truly gravity doing it, so I'm just saying the rhythm of the stroke is like a pendulum. You're accelerating while it's coming down. We want to hit putts slightly on the upswing so it reaches the bottom of the arc where it's at peak speed, and then it starts slowly decelerating as it rises up into the upswing, which then we hit the ball with like 2 or 3 degrees angle of attack positive. For a long time there, as the putter is getting near and just after it reaches its low point, it's going almost the same speed. It's going a very predictable speed, and it's very consistent, right? It's not changing much. It's accelerating very slowly and then decelerating very slowly. So if you look at that speed versus time on a graph, it's a very flat spot in that arc, and it becomes very predictable. You don't have to be Bryson, where he takes back 17.37 inches and he knows it's going to roll whatever distance it rolls at this stimp. You don't have to be that, but it becomes very predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing for sure. When I was working with my putting coach, Ross, he's like, your backswing's too short, and then your tempo is too fast to that. And then it's a little bit different. He's like, how are you on your distance control putts? And I'm like, not the best. He's like, okay, first things first is your backstroke and your follow through should be the same. And then you want to have a consistent tempo. Just like you said, doesn't matter how long this thing is. So that's basically all I worked on all winter, was like, set up posture, and then could I feel like I make that same backswing through stroke? And it was like no golf ball, right? Can I just do that over and over and over again? And then it's like, as I get comfortable with that, now the ball just gets collected through the stroke.
Yeah, I think, right, like good putters, they get the putter head up to speed quickly at the start of the backstroke, almost sort of cruises. You hear David Orr and Stan Utley talk, and they just talk about from the top of the backstroke through the ball, it's almost just you know, on cruise control. Good putters get the putter head up to speed. They maintain that speed. And then, you know, what controls how far the ball goes is just how far they're moving the putter, right? Short putts is a little shorter. Long putts is a little bit longer back and through. But their rhythm and tempo is the same regardless of how far the putt is.
Yeah. When you accelerate through a putt, your speed is changing very quickly. What you said, I control my distance pretty darn well. And so I will go behind a putt and I will have players do a little bit of what I do, which is kind of like, I call it Goldilocksing the putt. You'll make a swing back and forth, just constantly, constant rhythm, just back and forth, back and forth. You're not stopping the putter in any direction. And you make one that's a little too big, and you make one that's a little too small, and then you make two or three that's the right size. Be like too big, too small, the right size. It's not true, it's not accurate, but the speed that the putter goes back through, because it's accelerating the whole time from the follow through into the backswing when you're just going back and forth, I tell them you almost have to start the putter back at that speed.
Yeah.
It can't, because you're starting at zero when the putter's behind the ball, but it feels like you have to take it back that fast. And too many people will worry about the mechanics of their stroke and whether they're taking back inside or outside or whatever. Who cares? Take it back, let it go through. The way I train this for a lot of people is I'll give them a 8-foot putt and tell them they have to make a fast 3-foot backswing and leave the ball short.
Yeah.
They have to make a fast 3-foot long backswing and then actually slow the putter down, because they are so used to like taking it back slow and short and then popping it that for a little while their stroke is going to feel like they're actively almost slowing the putter down coming down.
Yeah. Would you guys agree? Like, I think the saying, you know, you have to accelerate, never up, never in. I think some of these concepts a lot of times sort of ruins people's idea of what you're supposed to even do in putting. And I'll tell players all the time, if you're a poor putter, if you're not a good player at this point of your sort of golfing career, your job from 4 feet and out is to get the ball to stop as close to the hole as possible. It's not necessarily to make it yet, but if you can stop it as close to the hole as possible, whether it's short, long, left or right, and all you have is a tap in, you've just done your job.
Yeah, there was a data that I was reading, something like the percentages of three putting from, it was like 30, 20, 25 feet or something like that for a 10 handicap. And it was almost 40%. That is just mind blowing that like almost 50% of the time you're telling me that you're going to three putt from like inside 30 feet, man, that's all pace control. There's no reason that ball shouldn't just land around that hole all the time, that you can just walk up and knock it in.
They're not misreading the putt by 4 feet.
Never, never.
Right.
They do.
Yeah. Tour level distance control is about 7.5%. For my players, I tell them 10%. If you have a 40 footer.
Yeah.
If you have good distance control, you can expect plus or minus 4 feet, which is why from that distance, you're centering your dispersion around the hole, because then some you're going to leave short, but you're not going to hit as many 7 feet past the hole if you try to make it.
Yeah. That's the other thing. So I just played in like a fun little scramble event a couple of days ago, and it was make sure you get it to the hole. I'm like, but that's going to totally change the read of the putt and your capture speed. I don't understand. Just make your normal putt. I don't understand. That like saying always drove me bonkers. Like, yeah, I understand. Like you want to make the putt, but we should want to make every putt in, in the scramble. Like if the read for the first guy is he's trying to roll it, you know, let's say, 8 inches past or 12 inches past, but then the second guy runs it 2 feet past. Well, now the read's completely different. And then, so the third guy has now got a completely different, like, let's get the ball just to always get around the hole. And then you're going to have a consistent tip for scramble golf. But frustrated with your ball striking? We have the solution. Use the Strike Wedge. It's a portable, multi-use training aid designed to improve the most critical part of your swing, impact. It acts like an external obstacle, giving you instant feedback so you can strike the ball more consistently without overthinking. Strike Wedge fixes fat shots, shanks, toe strikes, slices, and hooks. It's compact and effective, and it fits into your golf bag so you can train anywhere. Stop wasting hours on the range, working on the wrong things. Start training impact today. You can find yours at strikewedge.com.
Yeah, the hole gets in the way a lot of the times when the ball is finishing near the hole.
Yeah.
The capture size of the hole gets big and the ball falls in a lot of the times. speed is predictable at the bottom if you're not accelerating or decelerating much, right? But most players, again, because they're hitting up slightly, the putter is decelerating. A lot of people feel like it's gravity. I do a lot of work with players to find their own tempo. I just download a free tempo app onto their phone. I have the one that I run on mine. My tempo is about 82 to 84, depending on the day, slightly. It just goes beep, boop, beep, boop at the whatever tempo it's set. I have them swing the putter back and forth, big, small. And I say, does this feel too fast or too slow? And it doesn't matter whether they count it when it passes like the low point or at the ends of the stroke, because it's the same timing. And they'll say, this is too slow. I feel like I'm having to like slow myself down. Oh, this is too fast. I can't keep up. Whatever your natural tempo is, find it. Okay. And then every stroke that you make should kind of fit that, right? Sometimes I'll then have the player put the phone down on the green. You can only do this for a couple minutes because it gets annoying fast, but it'll go beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. And I'll let them say, okay, I'll let them kind of sit there and kind of absorb it. And then they have to take it back on one tone and hit it on the next one.
Yeah, so good.
And I have them hit 10 footers, 20 footers, 30 footers, 40 footers, all with that same thing going.
Yep.
You know, you can do it with four balls. Just absorb the tempo and then go, right? And hit, take it back on a beat, hit it on a beat. That gets them to realize, oh, crap, I got to take this back far because it's got to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because it's got to go back farther to hit this 40 footer. And that can be a good way to train it. What are some other ways to train this?
So I have the tempo stick in the studio here, and it's the same concept. It's just, it's a light bar, and then it has an app where you hear the tones just like you're talking about from a tempo perspective. The cool thing about it is you can change whatever that tempo rate is. You can change the stimp of the green, and obviously then you can change the length of the putts, and then the lights just travel back and forth with the sounds. And the thing that everyone is always, whether it's actually a slower tempo or a faster, like Tiger's like 100, right? His tempo is really fast. People are just shocked at how fast the backstroke is. And to your point, also how far it goes for a 20 footer, let alone, you know, a 40 footer. And almost every person initially, they're way too slow off the ball, and then they can't catch back up. It'll take five or six reps of this person to even get close to what these lights are doing. And it's just awesome when they can find it. You just see every ball rolls out the same exact distance almost every time. And now all of a sudden I do the same thing. I don't like them to hit more than like three putts to the same distance because I want to change it to get them to understand what the rhythm and tempo is and the length of stroke. I think it's a great tool for sure.
Yeah. And I have my players mark up an alignment stick.
Yep.
I have them make what they consider their base putting stroke.
Yep.
It's usually about 14 inches back and through. And then they'll put a tape there. And the alignment sticks are 44 inches, I think, the ones I have. The end of the alignment stick is another mark. Okay. But then you could find the midpoint between those two. So then you have three putting sizes. And what I have them do oftentimes is they'll put the ball in the middle, which we've also marked. And I have them hit three putts where they just go back to the first mark, try to naturally, quote unquote, naturally, not trying to like jam it and then stop it, you know, just trying to let the putter naturally kind of stop, come to a rest at the end of that piece of tape, right? That the 14 inch stroke or whatever their base stroke is, and not look up. I'll put the next ball down. They immediately hit the next ball. I put the third ball down. They immediately hit that. Occasionally they might notice, oh, that one followed through a little too long. And when they look up, that ball rolled a foot farther and the other two are touching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to do it because then it starts to go, oh, it creates buy-in. They're like, oh, crap. Like, I just did this. And those balls went an incredibly predictable distance. They all went the same distance.
Yeah. And this is a good way to find green speeds or how you need to alter your length of stroke when you go to a new golf course. So in my golf bag, I have a ghost hole, right? And I'm going to pace off about 12 feet. And I've got my just outside my foot to outside my foot. That's my base stroke. I know that goes about 12 feet. So when I make that good rhythm and tempo and I hit that, at my course, the ball rolls about 10 inches past the cup. Now, if I take that same setup and I go to another golf course and I set it up and I make that same stroke, and then after I've hit those three balls and I take a peek at where they are, if they're all short a foot, okay, I know that I need to hit it a little bit harder. The greens are a little bit slower here. And
or
vice versa.
You're just a little bit slower that day, which could also be the case. And that's fine because then you adjust for it.
Yeah, but you know what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Which is half the battle always.
Yeah, you're just calibrating, right? And I think that's what good players do is they have a system to calibrate for the speed of the green and how to control their speed. I think another thing that people aren't great at, to your point, Eric, that you said earlier, that the timing of the stroke, whether it's a, you know, 40-foot putt or a 10-foot putt, is about the same. When you roll the ball, the time it takes for the ball to get to the hole, like, I don't think people are very good at understanding how long should it take this ball to get to the hole. Is it flat? Is it uphill? Is it downhill? And people will always say, well, the downhill putt should get there faster. It's like, well, you better hope not.
They get that backward all the time.
You better hope not, because now you miss that thing 10 feet by, right? The uphill putt hopefully gets there a little bit faster, but it's honestly about the same amount of time, just like the stroke. It doesn't vary very, very much. And I just don't think people are very good at that or ever even think about it.
I was very proud of my daughter when in third grade, they asked her on her science test, if you roll a ball on the gym floor and you roll a ball on carpet and they both go 20 feet, which one will get there faster? And she answered correctly. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, there are so many people that don't get that at all. And you're right. A third grader and you figured it out. She's like, the one on carpet will get there faster because you have to roll it harder to make it go 20 feet.
There's 20 more feet. Friction. Like,
freaking awesome. That's right. Great.
That is awesome.
I've been proud of her many times, but almost very few times prouder than that moment.
Well, she'll like to hear this episode then.
Yeah. One of the things that I do when I'm just putting, because you can practice putt when you're in a casual round. You know, there's sometimes local rules in like tour events where they're not allowed to practice putt, but you can practice putt on the green that you just finished playing when you're done with the hole. And I will just put a ball down and hit it and try to stop it on the fringe, like right on the fringe and green line, like toward the cart or toward the next tee or wherever I'm going. I will just hit. Sometimes it's a 20 footer. Sometimes it's a 60 footer. Doesn't matter. I just try to stop it on the fringe. That way, if I missed the green, chipped it to a foot, I still get a putt on that hole where I can kind of keep my feels for the stroke going. One of the biggest problems is, and we're saying, oh, you should decelerate slightly when you putt, but almost nobody actually practices. Nobody sets up. You could put tees in the ground. You could put balls on the ground. You could put two dimes on the ground to make a stroke the right size and see where it goes. What I have people do with the stick that has the tape on it, when they swing back and swing through, point it at a hole and then hit putts going from tape to tape.
Yep.
And you'll make a lot of putts. You'll make a lot of 25 footers because A, you're cheating with the line that's pointing where you want to hit it, but your distance control is going to be good and the hole's going to get in the way a lot of the times. Almost nobody actually practices distance control. People go to a green, they throw some balls down, they hit some putts toward a hole. If they go in, they think they got better. If they miss, they think they got worse. When I show up to play a round that I care about, so I'm actually going to warm up a little bit, I hit my putts to a hole 3 feet left of it or 3 feet right of it because I'm using the hole as a distance marker and I don't want to see a ball go in because A, the odds of me making a 25 footer are not 50%, right? They're much lower than that. If it goes in, I don't know how far past it would have gone, right? Obviously, if it barely falls in, I know it wasn't getting there with a lot of speed, but if it hits the back of the hole, I don't know if it was 2 feet by or 4 feet by or 5 feet. I'm just using the hole as a distance marker and just trying to hit the balls that distance to get a feel for that right away.
You lose the feedback. If it goes in the hole, you lose the feedback of how far it would have went. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're trying to do is just gauge get the feedback of how far would this have rolled out.
Do not be afraid to decelerate slightly. It's not super visible. It's not like, you know, it's not a yip. It's not that, but do not be afraid to decelerate slightly when you're putting. It's kind of normal because you're on the upswing slightly. The putter should be slowing down. The way to decelerate properly on a putting stroke is to take a faster, often bigger backstroke.
Love it.
Okay. Those would be the takeaways that I would have for everyone listening.
Yeah. Love it. Another great episode. As always, thanks for listening. Share this with a friend. We'll talk next time.
And remember, you can always find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis and online at thespinaxis.com.